Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra Daf Chav Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Chav Be'ezer Mabeis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. It says the Mishnah Mechikim Sulam and Ashuvach Arba Amis. We have to distance the ladder by Dalar Amis from the nest. Kadesh Lo Tikvetz on the Miyah. A weasel, a rat, should not be able to climb up the ladder and cause damage to those birds. That means if somebody put up a nest in his chatzer next to the wall that divides the two chatzeres, we have to be careful anyone should not put a ladder next to this wall unless we have the proper distance, because as we just said, the ladder could be a way for a animal to go up and attack those birds. That's a koisel min aschila, arba amis. One has the distance, the wall, by dal amis, from a gutter and leader, kadeshi zoikav sasulam, for the same reason that the person who has this gutter and leader, sometimes it gets clogged with different objects that fall into it, and he has to be able to have access to go up, to clear it out. So the Rishonim ask, how could you put up? Why should I be allowed to put a ladder in somebody else's chatzer? Because I want to clean my gutters and leaders. Is your chatzer by you having a chatzer next to me, make you obligated to give me that kind of space? So Tosfos explains that this Mishnah is referring to a situation where I originally owned the chatzer, and you gave me permission when we bought it, when we sold it, you gave me permission to put a ladder there. And the Mishnah teaches us that it's not speaking about a case where we didn't give me any permission in the first place. If you didn't give me permission to use your chatzer, so then, of course, I cannot make demands that you have to leave room in your chatzer for my ladder. What the Mishnah is coming to teach us, Taisa says, is that if there is a deal that I could put a ladder, what does that agreement represent? So according to Taisus, the Mishnah is teaching us a halacha in Masav Matan, in when we make a deal. What is included? What does the halacha say is included in the deal? The Yad Ramah, however, says a different pshat, and the Rambam seems to hold like that pshat also, that the halacha here is that every gutter and leader, just like we've been learning from the beginning of the Masechta, that when you have a wall, when you have doors in the chatzer, you're entitled to a certain amount of space around your door. Somebody who has a gutter and leader has rights, and his rights is to have dalar amis. The Ramban disagrees strongly with Yad Ramah. Why? Because I decided to make a gutter and leader on my roof. Does that automatically give me dalar amis? Does that automatically give me this dalar amis? There's an interesting shaila, the similar type of shaila, that somebody is living on the first floor and he has windows. Many people who live on the first floor make gates around their windows because it's so accessible. And the question is that the person who made these gates, if they're very big gates, it becomes unfortunately easy for the person for anybody to climb up those gates to the higher floor, and chas v'shalom, it could be a thief. So the question is, what is the halacha? So the Cheshuk Chemed says that indeed, that what we're learning from our Mishnah is when I am making something in my property, I have to think about my next door neighbor, and my next door neighbor has to think about me. And therefore, he suggests that the halacha is if gates could be made, my neighbor cannot demand of me that I shouldn't make gates. But if the gates that I make could be made in a way which will be less of a concern to my, less of an issue for my upper neighbor, those are the kind of gates that I have to make. He does say that if they're more expensive, then maybe I could demand from my upper neighbor to pay the difference. And he quotes the Shulchan Aruch in Chayshe Mishpat Simen Kuf Nun Hey Sif Dalet. The Shulchan Aruch says, Shnei Shechenim Adarim B'yachad, two neighbors that live next to each other, Ubeis Shalachad Nifritz, and one of the houses has an opening, Vayidei Zeboin Ganoim L'Beis Sheni, and that makes it easier for thieves to enter the next home. Vayim HaSheni, so the other neighbor says, G'dar Beis Secha, or Mechrena L'Acherim, properly gate your home, or sell your home to others, katam garim li chezek. The way your home is now, it causes me damage. The yesh oimrim that din imay v'tzarech l'sakin has zekoy, that he has to pay, he has to do it. V'yesh chalkim delay v'gira delay. So the question is, that is this the same? And now we see in Shulchan Aruch, that's actually a machloikis. So the Chashuk Echemed wants to suggest that maybe over there, living in a home that's completely exposed, that is not the way somebody's supposed to live. And that's why maybe in that case, the halacha is that you could force me to, you could force me to fix my home to protect your home. And even that, Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions. But in a case, like the case we're learning, where making gates around your window is something which is normal. And if since it's something normal, maybe everybody would agree that you can't force me to make different types of gates because it's for your convenience to have that type of a gate. Says the Gemara, Lema Masnei said, like Rabbi Yossi, it seems that our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi, if we're going to want to say our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Homer, Rabbi Yossi is going to teach us in Daf Chof Hei Amid Beis that a person could plant a tree in his chatzar, even though it's not that far from his neighbor's bor, and even though by doing so, what's going to happen is that the roots of my tree will extend and do damage to your bor. Rabbi Yossi says, I could dig a bor in my rishus, and I could plant a tree in my rishus, and a person could do in his rishus whatever he wants, even though it could damage my neighbor. In other words, another way of explaining Rabbi Yossi's opinion is alanizik lahachik esatzmai. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that it's the nizik's responsibility to distance himself. So if here too, why do I have to remove my ladder? Because it could cause you damage. Rabbi Yossi says, that according to Rabbi Yossi, it should not be my responsibility. So Rashi points out that this is not, that the way to understand the sugya is that this is not the only Mishnah in our perek which is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. There are other Mishnayis that, if this is the way we're going to learn the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that it's only al nizik lahachik atzmai. This is the question of the Gemara here is, how do we view this Mishnah? Is this Mishnah also going to be an example of Mishnayis that are not consistent with Rabbi Yossi? Or is this Mishnah able to be consistent with Rabbi Yossi? The Ramban explains that what Rashi means to say is that perhaps this situation, what the damage that I'm doing to you by having a ladder against the wall near your ladder next to your nest is so significant, even Rabbi Yossi, who normally holds that it's ala nizik l'hachik esatzmai, maybe over here it's different. Here Rabbi Yossi is going to explain ala mazik l'hachik esatzmai. And I saw Rabbeinu Chananu explains, because the Mishnah we learned says that machikim sagefes v'sazev v'samelach v'sasid v'sloim, and it could be that Rabbi Yossi agrees with that Mishnah. And therefore, the question is, maybe Reb Yossi, the way I saw Reb Chanan, I understand what Reb Chanan means to say, is only speaking about when you plant something. Only in such a situation will Reb Yossi hold. But in other places, Reb Yossi will not hold that it's my responsibility. Says the Gemara, indeed, I feel tame Reb Yossi. You could say that Amish defiles the opinion of Reb Yossi. Ha'amar v'ashi kavina b'Rav Kahana hava amar. When we learned in the yeshiva, Reb Kahana used to say, Maida Reb Yossi begiri today. That even though Reb Yossi agrees, Reb Yossi's opinion is al nizik l'hachik esatzmoy, but if it's a situation that the mazik is doing giri delay, so the simple pshat of giri delay is if the mazik is shooting arrows. If the mazik is shooting arrows, everybody will agree that that is not a question of al mazik l'hachik esatzmoy, al nizik l'hachik esatzmoy. Rather, the way it should be understood that's a situation of mazik. And therefore, Reb Yossi agrees in a situation of giri delay. So Rashi explains that the definition, and Tosfos seems to say that the definition of giri delay is when the damage comes immediately. And here, the damage comes immediately. As soon as I put the ladder, the weasel could climb up the ladder. Rashi seems to have a different pshat. And the way Reb Nochum Zatzal explains Rashi pshat is that there's a difference between Momen HaMazik and Guf HaMazik. And when it's a situation of Guf HaMazik, that's when Reb Yossi is stricter. When it's Momen HaMazik, Reb Yossi is more lenient. If I put up a ladder, giri delay means that I put the ladder in such a place. By putting the ladder in such a place, that's called giri delay, and that's where Reb Yossi will agree that even the mazik has an obligation to distance it. Hachinami, and that's why explains the Gemara in the case of the ladder. The zimnet behadichle manichle, as the moment I put the ladder, Yossi b'chub b'kofza, immediately that moment the weasel jumps out onto my ladder and does damage. And therefore, it's considered a situation of giri delay. According to Tosfos, because it happens immediately. And according to Rashi, because I put the ladder, and as soon as I put the ladder, that's what happened. Ask the Gemara. But at the end of the day, v'agramahu, this is not a situation that I caused the damage. It's a grama. I created, to whatever degree, a situation where there could be a hezek, but I didn't do the hezek, answers the Gemara. Correct, but Amr Rav Tuvi, by Master Azois Ameris, based on what we just learned, Grama ben Azakin Asr, causing damage is Asr. And the way Tosfos explains is because we've learned so many times in Masechta Baba Kama that a Grama ben Azakin is Potter. So the Gemara here is teaching that don't understand Grama ben Nezakin is potter. Is potter means that you're allowed to make a Grama ben Nezakin. Grama ben Nezakin is potter mil shalim. You don't have to pay if you created damage through a Grama. But in no way is that to be understood that you're allowed to do a Grama ben Nezakin. Grama ben Nezakin is potter. We also discussed in Masechta Baba Kama that there are two concepts. There's a concept of Grama ben Nezakin, which we're discussing now, you're potter from paying, but you're not allowed to do. And then there's a concept of Garmi, which you're going to be chayv to pay. What is the difference between Grama and Garmi? When you yourself did the damage, even though you didn't do the damage directly, the Gemara over there spoke about a case of Shayrif Shtayrosif Shachaveroi. Somebody has documents that he owes, that people owe him money, and I burn those documents. Those documents themselves don't really have a very significant inherent value, but they represent a significant damage if you don't have them. That's called Garmi. But in a case where I put up the ladder, yes, the weasel jumped right up immediately, but I didn't do anything to bring the weasel there. That's only called a gar ami. Another explanation that the Rosh gives to differentiate between garma and garmi is in the case of garmi, the damage is certain. In the case of garma, it's very likely, but it's not certain. And again, in the case of Sarif Shtaros or Shechaveroi, the damage is certain. I burnt your Shtaros, that's a real damage. In the case of Garmi, it's a real immediate damage. In the case of Garma, it's not certain that there's going to be a damage. Yes, the Gemara gave us a number of examples where the grumma, where it happens immediately, but it's not guaranteed to happen. And when it's not guaranteed to happen, that's considered a grumma. So Rabbi Chanan asks that the Gemara came to tell us grumma ben zaken is asur. Why would I think differently? If the Torah HaKadosh says, v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha, and Chazal explained, mad alach sanei, something that you wouldn't want should happen to you, don't do to someone else. So of course, you know, nobody would want that somebody should cause him damage through a grumma. So if nobody wants to be the victim of a grumma, he certainly should be not be the perpetrator of a grumma. And moreover, he asks, since we know that we learned in Masechet Metziah, how the Torah keeps on speaking about the mitzvah Shavas Aveda. We have to be so careful to return something that somebody else lost. So certainly we're not allowed to cause him grumma. So Rabbi Chanan answers that we would think that in a case where I make a grumma, and the Nizik knows that I'm making a grumma, and it's to my benefit to make this grumma, maybe grumma would be mutter. Example is our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, I put up a ladder. So the ladder that I put up is because it's for my benefit to have the ladder. And it's only a grumma as we're learning. So maybe I could say, I need to think about myself first. And I need this ladder. The fact that it may cause damage to somebody else should not be my concern. But Shmuel Zerzovsky takes, of course, the approach that the Gemara was never assuming that your ladder do grumma. What the Gemara was meaning to say was that we're referring back to how we begin the shir. Who has the obligation to stay away from this situation? And if we're going to hold it al nizik l'harchikas atzmai, then even in a situation of grumma, the rabbanon, the halacha will be that it's the Nizik's responsibility to distance himself, teaches us the Gemara that Grumma ben Nizokin is so significant that when it's in a situation of Gire delay, so we have a combination of Grumma, which indeed lessens the level of responsibility of the Mazik. And on the other hand, it's a situation, as we explained, Al Gemara is referring to, of Gire delay. When we combine these two factors, the Gemara is teaching us that there, when we have a combination of these two factors, still Rabbi Yossi is going to hold, not like he normally holds, but he's going to hold ala mazik lachis. That's my, it becomes the mazik's responsibility. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi havelu hanitali. Rabbi Yossi had these small trees in his chotzer to have a also umneviyosu tasayu. And under these trees, people who would let blood would sit there as they did their work. And there was blood. And what would happen was there were ravens that would come to suck up the blood. And then after they sucked up the blood, the salka beitali, they would go up on top of the tree, or mafsi tameri, and they would ruin the dates. Amalar Rabbi Yosef, afikale korkamahacha. He said, take away the birds from here. We should not allow the bloodletters to sit here and let blood because it's causing damage to my tree. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya said to Rabbi Yosef, why should I have to do this? For Grumahu, isn't this a situation of Grumah? They're not actually bringing the birds here. Amalei, Hacham Rav Tuvi Masna, Zaysa Meris, as we just learned, that Grama ben Nezakin is Osir. And as we finished learning, that even according to Rabbi Yaisi, the halacha is that Begiri delay Grama ben Nezakin is Osir. And what he was trying to say was that the halacha, it follows the opinion that even if the halacha follows the halacha of Rabbi Yosef, the halacha is that here the Rabbi Yosef agrees that it's Osir. Ask the Gemara for Achzakla. They were sitting under this tree for many years doing this. And how could you stop them from continuing to see this, sit here? And as we discussed earlier in our Masechta, when we speak about Chazaka in this Masechta, the example that's usually used by Chazaka is that I've lived in a house that you owned, and now you say, how am I in your house? I don't have permission to be here. So if I was here for 3 years and you didn't say anything, the halacha is that if you didn't say anything and now I'm claiming that it's my home, I will prevail in a din Torah. So what do I have here? I have a chazaka plus 3 years and I have a taina. The question is, this chazaka that these umnim, that these blood letters have, what kind of chazaka is required to make it a chazaka? Some Taisa says that you have to have a chazaka sheshi moitaina. That means the blood letters, for example, in our case, have to have a chazaka. It's not clear how long that chazaka is. It's the Rishonim debate. Do you have to have a chazaka of 3 years? And you also have to have a taina. There are very many different opinions in the Rishonim about this. There's some Rishonim that say that you don't have to have a taina because this is a cheskes tashmishim. There's two different types of chazaka. There's a chazaka of karka, the example that we just mentioned a moment ago, and there's a chazaka of tashmishim. And they differentiate between cheskes tashmishim and cheskes karka. Cheskes karka, as I said, everyone agrees, requires 3 years with a taina. But regarding cheskes tashmishin, where the blood letters have permission to do their work over here, there's a big machlokes rishonim. Some say a taina is required. Some say a taina is not required. Some say that there has to be 3 years, as it is by cheskes karka, and a chazaka cannot be established if they weren't there for 3 years. And some suggest that for cheskes tashmishin, you don't need to have 3 years to create a chazaka. But be it as it may, that's what the umma have a right to say. The umma have a right to say that we have a chazaka here. Says the Gemara, Ha'amar of Nachman Amar Rav Baravua, that claim is not a valid claim, because Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avua taught us that ain't chazaka l'nezakin, that you can't create a chazaka for nezakin. And Tosfos, quoting Rabbeinu Tam, takes this very far. He says, even if I could definitively prove that you gave me the right, you sold me the right, you gave me the right to do something which is damaging, if it turns out to be a chazaka that is a cheskes that creates damage, you could claim the person who sold it could back out and say it was a mekach tos. I didn't realize that this would be something that would be so bothersome to me. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that our Gemara is speaking about a case where I only established it with a chazaka, but if a case where I purchased it and there was a deal, of course you can't back out because it's damaging. So the question is, how far to understand the concept of in chazaka and nezakim? Rabbeinu Tam says that even if there was a full-fledged deal, the person who gave me the sale, he could back out. Others are showing him suggest that if you sold me rights here, then you can't back out of the deal. And if it's difficult for you to remain here, then sorry, so you should move. But according to those Rishonim, if you just gave me permission, but it wasn't that I purchased the right to be here in a way that hurts you, then you can back out? That the some Rishonim say that even Mechila is adequate. But even when would the Mechila be adequate? If there was a Kinyan accompanied to the Mechila? If there was no Kinyan accompanying the Mechila, then it's not to be adequate. And that, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that if there was a Kinyan, certainly if there was a Kinyan, then there was money exchanged, then you can't claim Ein Chazakel Nezakim. The Shulchan Aruch goes further and says that even if there was just Mechila, but that Mechila was strengthened, accompanied with a Kinyan, then the person who gave me the right can't back out. When we say in our Gemara, Ein Chazakel Nezakim, is when you gave me permission, and now you realize that it's too difficult for you to have this. Says the Gemara, "V'lavit malah." But haven't we learned that when do we say "Ein chazakel nezakim"? Bekutra, where it's smoke entering your property. Rezar amar beis akisei, and the smell of the beis akisei is very difficult. So only in those cases do we say "Ein chazakel nezakim," but not in a case that the Gemara is speaking about with the birds and the blood. Amalei. So Rav Yosef said to Abaya, "Hani l'dedid ani dati. I, who am a person who is very sensitive, the birds bringing the blood onto the fruit is considered to me is considered very, very bothersome. It's kikutra beisakisadami. It's considered like kutra beisakisei, and therefore, since it's considered like kutra beisakisei, it's going to be a situation of Ein Chazakel Nezakim." So Gemara now established halacha that the Gemara established now the concept of Ein Chazakel Nezakim. And Rav Moshe discusses this when we speak about Ein Chazakel Nezakim. He speaks about the case about smoking in a public area. So why? Because it used to be the people were not as sensitive to smoke as they used to be. And the question is, now people have become correctly much more sensitive to smoking. So what is the halacha? Can somebody say to somebody who's smoking in a public area that you should stop smoking? So Rav Moshe says that just like we learned in our Gemara, that he was able to, that Rav Yosef was able to say that this is extremely bothersome to me. I am very sensitive. And therefore, since I'm very sensitive, I can't. It's considered nezakin, and ein chazakin le nezakin. Says Rav Moshe, the same thing will be, that even if in previous times people were not so sensitive, and it became, and it was common to smoke in a public area, the Zman Hazeh, where it's become so common that the people are bothered, even one person could say that this bothers me and I consider it dangerous, and the person's not going to have to smoke in a place where it bothers. That Rav Moshe says there that the other consideration is the Bittul Torah. The Bittul Torah, both of the person who's smoking and the both of the person who's the smoke is bothering, is also something to take into consideration. And he says that therefore a person could correctly say to somebody who's smoking in a public, in a Beis Medrash or in a public area, please stop smoking here, it bothers me. And even if previously was allowed, we could claim Ein Chazakel L'Nezakim. The similar situation, that what's going to be the halacha, that if somebody has an apartment and he doesn't keep it properly clean and there's an odor emanating from that apartment, can people demand that he clean his apartment? And what the Gemara is really teaching us is that these are all very subjective situations. And if it's a situation where people could properly claim that this is bothersome to me, even if other people will say that it's not bothersome today to them, that the halacha is that the people could make that claim, and ein chazak l'nezakim, and the fact that maybe this was the situation previously is immaterial in halacha. Says the Mishnah, machikin es ha-shavich me'ir chamishim amma. We have to distance the shavich from the city 50 amma. Nobody could put a shavich within 50 amma of another, of a shavich within 50 ammas of the city, because the birds eat the vegetables that grow in the garden, and therefore I have to distance them. Similarly, layas adam shavich b'toich shaloi, nobody should make a shavich within his own property, unless he has a distance of 50 amis from, in all sides, from where he established the nest, so that the birds, if they're going to fly the 50 amis, are going to remain within my property. Rav Yehuda Omer, Beis Arba Kairin, 50 amis is not enough. It has to be an area where you could plant four kairin. Mole shagra yoina. That's the amount that a bird usually flies at one time. Bimlakai. If somebody bought a nest with the property around him, and the seller had a nest in this place, a filu base roiva, even if it's a place that's just the size of a base roiva, harei b'cheskasoi, the halacha is that since there was a shaivich there previously, we could, Besdin says on behalf of the buyer, that obviously the seller had arranged that this shaivich should be allowed to be here. The buyer can make that claim. Besdin would accept that claim, and he could leave his shaivich in that place. Ask the Gemara. So we seem to learn from the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, that 50 amos is the amount that the birds fly. And that's why we have to distance the birds by 50 amos. Ask the Gemara, chamishim am vesuloi, do the birds only fly 50 amos and no more? For many, the Mishnah, Mesech Baba Kama, Daf Ayin, Tesam Abayis, teaches us, ein parson nezvin l'yoinim, we're not allowed to put out nets, traps, to catch birds, unless the distance is four mil, and each mil is 2,000 amma, a distance of 8,000 amma, because we're concerned that the birds are going to get caught in the traps that I set up. So we see that it's 8,000 amma, not just 50 amma. Answers, so why is our Mishnah limiting it to 50 amma? Answers the Gemara, Amabai Mesha Chaiti Tuve. Birds fly much more. They fly much more than just 50 amma. However, Bekersayu Bechamisha Am Somalia. They eat only what's in the first 50 amma. And that's why, since they only eat what's in the first 50 amma, that's what I have to be concerned about. Ask the Gemara, so we're differentiating between how far the birds fly versus what distance do they eat. Ask the Gemara, Meshit Shliyashim Risva Suloi, do they only fly 8,000 amma? V'tanya B'yishav Afila Me'emila Yisrav. In an inhabited area, the birds should be distanced even 100 mil. So why are we limiting it to that amount of time? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, Oyma B'yishav Kromim. In a place, there's a lot of trees, so the birds could fly further because they could land on one tree to the next tree. That's where they could fly further. In other places, they don't fly that far. Ravam B'yishav Shaychin. In a place where there are many nests, again, since they could rest on nest to nest, that's why they're given more distance. Ask the Gemara if the concern is, if we're saying we're speaking about a case of Yishav Shaychin, the tape claim Shim Shaychin Gufayu, because we're supposed to distance, because there are nests already there. Ibais Ema, one teretz we could give the day, that all the birds, all the nests are mine. So that's why it's not a concern. Ibais Ema, the Knani. And by Akum, these are not consideration. Ibais Ema, that these nests are Hefker. And therefore, the concern that my bird is going to end up in your nest, as for these three different situations, that is not the concern. Rabbi Hudaimer, the shear that we have to separate is arba kurin, the amount of shegra yoina. But we also learned that if I purchase the property with the nest already there, then it doesn't make a difference. I could keep the nest, says the Gemara. Amra papa vi itamer of zvid, soisemeres. From what we learn in our Mishnah, we could see that tayanim lelekech v'tayanim leyirish, that the Mishnah speaking about that I bought this, and what the Mishnah is saying is that Bezdin could make this claim on my behalf. And even if I don't know exactly what happened here, Bezdin will stick up for me. Because, as we mentioned a few moments ago, chazaka she'ena maitaina ena chazaka. Even though a chazaka is a strong tool to be used in halacha, it's only usable when it's backed up with a taina. Here, so we have to have, in a situation where I have to have a taina, so Bezdin says that not only, of course you have to have a taina, but the Gemara is teaching us that the taina can be made on my behalf by Bezdin, even though I didn't raise it. And that's why in our Mishnah, if somebody inherited a property, or somebody bought this property, and now there's a dispute about the status of this property. So the Mishnah is teaching us that if I can make a claim that I bought the property with the Shaivach, Bezdin will make that claim on my behalf, says the Gemara. Where do we learn these halachas? Yorish Tanina, because the Mishnah says, if I inherited the property, I don't have to have a taina. Bezdin will make the taina on behalf. So why do we need this Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, because our Mishnah lekeach is tzuchalei. It's coming to teach us that we say this halacha even by lekeach. Ask the Gemara, lekeach namitanina. The halacha of lekeach was also taught. The Mishnah and Daf Samach teaches us, loke chaveira, chatzar, I bought a chatzar, the bar existem gezestras, and there are different porches or beams that are sticking out of my wall, and people want me to remove it. I could say, "Arei zebechaskosoi," that I have a chazak on this, and Bezdin will make that claim on my behalf. So why do I need this Mishnah? Answers the Matzricha. Dishman hasan gabri shusarabim. In the case over there, we learned that halacha because it's sticking into the shusarabim. We could say that I made it in my own property, or the people in Rishus Rabbim let me have it. In a case where it's not me versus the Rishus Rabbim, it's me versus somebody else, maybe I should not prevail. Loi, that even in this case. I could say that the person who I bought this property from had made a deal with the neighbors that he could put a shayvich in his property. Inami achuli gabei, and even if he gave me permission, that's why I could have the shayvich. Av a rabbim, when we speak about a rabbim, man pious. There's nobody is the rabbim, and nobody has a right to make a deal on behalf of the rabbim. And man meimeloi, and therefore, even if I got permission, that permission should be considered meaningless. Tzricha. So he said that if I bought it with the shayvich, harei b'chuskasa, and I could leave it there. But ask the Gemara, but haven't we learned early in our shir, v'amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Avuah ein chazaka l'nezaken? So even if I had this from before, how could that be acceptable? Ein chazaka l'nezaken, answers the Gemara, as we also learned earlier in our shir, the way do we say ein chazaka l'nezaken? Ramari amar b'kutra, Rav Zad amar beis akisei. Where it's very bothersome. That's where a chazaka. But in a case which is not so bothersome, the halacha is that where it's not so bothersome, we don't say ein chazaka l'nezakim. Says the Mishnah, Nipol. And many Rishonim actually point out that the Mishnah we're learning now really doesn't belong in this Masechta. It's much more connected to what we learned in Masechta Bava Metzia when we spoke about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. But again, says the Mishnah, we'll discuss in Mitzvah Shem why it did come into this Masechta. If a bird is found within 50 amma of a nest, the person who owns the nest could claim that this, could make a valid claim that this is, that this bird belongs to me. And if, now we can understand, since we've been learning the halachas of Shoivach and the Teres Yisrael, that says the Ritva, and on top of that says the Teres Yisrael, not only have we been learning the halachas of Shoivach, but we've also been learning the halacha of 50 Amma. And here too, we have this 50 Amma rule. That's by birds. That's why I came into this Masechta. So again, Nipsa B'toch Chamisha Amma, within 50 Amas of a nest, Hareisha Baal Shevach, it belongs to the owner of the nest. Chutz Michamisha Amma, but if it's found past 50 Amas, then Hareisha Maitzoy, we don't say that it belongs to the owner of the nest. And whoever finds it, of course, since it doesn't have Simonim, and as we learned in Masechta Matzia, if you find something that doesn't have a simon, then the halacha is that the person who finds it could keep. We can't. The person who finds it could keep it. And since, but that is a question which we also learned in Masechta Baba Metzia, and that is that I only could keep it if there was yiush, if the person who lost it gave up hope on it. How do we know that there was yiush over here? So the Rishonim explained, the reason we could be lenient is because Roiv Goyim Heim, since most people who own birds are non-Jews, and the halacha that if you find something without a simon, you don't have to return, is only by if there wasn't any yiush, you can't keep it, is only by Yisraelim. Here, since we can rely that most are Goyim, and there is no simon, that's why the person who finds it could keep it. Nimtza ben shnei kaifches, if a bird was found within 50 amas of two nests, karv lezeh, we look to which nest is it closer. Karv lezeh shaloi, whichever nest it is closer to, that is the nest that we presume it came from. If it's mechza, mechza, if it's right in between, says the Mishnah, shnei mechleik, the two owners of the nest should divide it. So, the Gemara begins by discussing a very important topic. As we often say, when a big part of halacha and a big part of shas is what do we do in a situation of a suffix? What the halacha gives us tools what to do in a situation of a suffix. And two of the tools that we're going to be focused on in our shiur today are roiv, that we always have to ach rabim lahatis, or karev, which is closer. And the question here is, when these two different methods, so to speak, give us different results, what do we follow? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chanina, roiv the karev, when we have a situation, the roiv takes us in one direction, and karev takes us in a different direction, holchen acha roiv, we follow the roiv. And Vafagav, says the Gemara, the Ruba Daraisa, the following roiv is a Daraisa, the Kurva Daraisa, and following what's closest to Daraisa, a Filacha Ruba Adav. Why? First of all, where do we see that roiv and Kurv are affected with Daraisa? Because the Torah, as far as roiv says explicitly, in Achir Rabban Lahatis. And regarding Kurv, the Torah speaks about a case. A corpse was found. We don't know who murdered this person. We have to measure which city is closest to this corpse. And after measuring the city that's closest to the corpse, that the halacha is that that city should bring the egla rufa. So we see that in halacha, karov has a consequence. So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky explains why is roiv and karev, why is the halacha that the Gemara says that karev is stronger than roiv. So he explains, when we speak about different methods of dealing with a suffix, what does roiv say? Roiv, he explains, is a halacha, or as he explains in the yeshiva world, it's and a hugger. That in a situation of doubt, the Torah told us that what is the method to follow in order to know what to do? Follow the Rav. Whereas Karif is not an ahoga. It's not that the Torah says, since we don't know what to do, follow Rav. Karif, he says, is a birur. Karif is telling us, this is the fact. And therefore, when we have birur in one direction and hanhoga in the other direction, the halacha tells us that we should follow the birur, not the nahoga. Tysus asked the question. There's a very famous brisa that's quoted in Shas, in Masechet Ksubos, and other places, where you have you have a piece of meat that was found in the street. Teishachanuyus, that's nine of those stairs sell kosher meat, and one sells non-kosher meat. We don't know from where the meat came. We follow the Rav. So we see from there that we follow the Rav. How does that reconcile with what we just learned here? So the Re'i answers that we're going to have to speak about a case where all of those stores are equidistant from the meat that's found in the street. And therefore, we don't know, we can't rely on the Karev. That's why over there we rely on the Rav. Masr of Zera. So we just quoted the halacha of Egla Rufa, which we said is the source for teaching us the concept of Karev. The pasuk says, "Vayiyah Karev el Karev." So he says Ruba Adif. So the Gemara says that we followed the Rav. Masr of Zera, "Vayiyah Karev el Chawal." So we see Vakarav Dikachritad and Fishmina. They were following the Karev, not the Rav. So the Gemara, the Torah, when it says that halacha is Bedaleka, when there are no other city that has more people. But indeed, if there'll be another city with more people, the halacha is that we won't follow Karev. Says the Gemara, why are we considering that the murderer came from the city? We should follow the Rav of the world. And it says, Gemara, Yeshev Spain Aharim. And therefore, it's not likely that the murderer came. It's a city that's concealed. So the rest of the world is not a consideration. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Nipla Nimtza B'toich HaMishim Amah, if the bird was found within 50 amas of a nest, Harei Shabal HaShoivach, the person who's closest, the owner of the nest that's closest, could say that the bird came from my nest. V'avgav Dikar, Nefisha Achrinat Nafshmenei, maybe there are people who have nests that have more birds, and we're not following those nests, we're following the closest. It says, Mar B'Daleka, ask the Gemari, Hachi, that there are no other nests. And therefore, we say it must have come from the closest nest. If we found that outside of 50 amas, we say it belongs to the person that found it. Vidaleka, if there isn't, it must have been that it fell from that nest because there's nowhere else that it could have come from. Answered the Gemara, our mission is going to be speaking about a case that there is another nest, but the bird did not fly. The bird walked. And a bird that walked, it can't walk more than 50 amma. And since it can't walk more than 50 amma, so then we understand that it must have come from that, if it's past 50 amma, it couldn't have come from that nest. Because the halacha is that, because the reality is that it can't come from more than 50 amas. The Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, in his Sefer Nach Lesem on Hilchos Egar Rufa, quotes a Machloikus Rishonim, that what's going to be halacha, that if there are two cities, but one is larger, but it's a draft further, and one is a little larger. What is the question when we're saying here that the Gemara is saying that the case of Egla Rufa is that there's no other city? What would be the halacha if there are two cities? One is closer, but one has more people. But the question is, the city that has more people is not really much larger than the closest city. And the question is, that it could be under that circumstance, suggests Rav Chaim Kanievsky agrees with Machlokes Rishonim, that everybody will agree we follow the Karev. The question that comes up is that in many shuls on Erev Yom Kippur, the shuls put out pushkas, and then money is found in between the pushka. And the question is, it's money is closer to one pushka, but one pushka has more money in it. So where do we assume that the money came from? This is a classical example of what we're learning of Roiv Vekarev. And we've learned in our Gemara that the Gemara is saying that the Roiv, we follow Roiv, not Karev. And the question here, what will be the case in this case? So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in Sefer Chashuki Chemed says that even if our Gemara says Roiv Vekarev, there we say we follow the Roiv, is where we know when the question began, this was a Roiv. But over here, yes, at the point that we find the money, one pushka has more money than the other pushka. So at this point, the Roiv is indicating that it came from this pushka. But even if though at this moment, the Roiv is indicating that it came from the pushka that has more money, we don't know when that money fell. And it could be that when the money fell, it didn't have more money than the other pushka. And then the halacha would be we would go after the karev. And because of that, he seems to say that in such a situation, what the halacha would require is yachloiku, we should divide that found money between the two pushkas.